Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, always asking the questions that matter.
Don't ask that question.
If you come and see us at Taco Bueno, 7940 in the forest lane, 7940 Forest Lane in Dallas, I will repeat the hypothetical. This is a new hypothetical if you want to hear it. I'm going to warn you, it's not for the faint of heart. Overreaction or reality, you feel bad for the Dallas Cowboys offense. So Wanya Thomas specifically feels bad. He said, and I quote, "I feel bad. I feel bad." Kind of an opposite James Brown situation. And he said, "We have the best offense in the league, literally. They're going to score. We have to get a stop. That's on us, not them. That's on us." Overreaction or reality, you feel bad for the Dallas Cowboys offense?
Yes. Reality. They're doing their job. They're doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
You're not, Kevin, I know I joke a lot of times. I would love for them to score 100% of the time.
Sure.
It is difficult to do that. But whenever you feel like you've put up enough points to win a football game, the defense, the other side has to do their job. Now, he's saying he feels bad, and yeah. I know he does. I think the Cowboys offense feels bad for them. I think the Cowboys offense is like, you guys, like, I know y'all, you guys. I know y'all are trying.
Aww.
Or I know y'all are putting in work.
Are they giving them, you're doing your best, buddy?
But we, like, and they're not doing the, but we need you.
Yeah.
Because they're still like, hey, we'll give you some grace.
Okay.
Nate said it right this morning. He was like, Jerry and the fans are the two people that can go over the top. Yeah, because, you know, the fans aren't going to give them grace.
Sure.
We want answers. We want answers now.
Yeah.
And that's where they are at the moment is they don't have the answers. And so I think the offense is doing you're doing a great job, but we at some point they're going to have to demand we need you to help us out.
Alec, do you feel bad for the Cowboys offense?
Reality.
Yeah.
It makes me extremely sad because it seems like it's been almost automatic in almost every game outside of Chicago that it's like, I feel good that they're going to score some way, somehow, every time they touch the football. And keep in mind, banged up offensive line and without their number one wide receiver. They're doing all of these heroic things without some of the best players on that unit. And then the defense just turns around and gives up the exact same amount of points, if not more, on the ensuing defensive drive. So I remember this when I was hosting weekends years ago. I was talking to Broadus during one of the losing seasons the Cowboys had, and he was like, this team just hates prosperity. And
I think that's
been popping back up in my head here this season. Anytime I see them take the field on defense, I'm like, this team just hates prosperity. They go out there and they have an amazing offensive drive. Kevontae Turpin can give them really good field position on a kickoff, too, and they go and score 7 points after the PAT, and then they give up the exact same.
Yeah, it's tough to argue with all of that. NFL overreaction reality. I know you're going to argue with this one, but remember what Moose just said. Overreaction or reality, we've accepted that Baker Mayfield is, so now it's time to accept that Sam Darnold might be a real MVP candidate.
Nobody else is really playing at that level, so I think this is a reality. Candidate,
We did it.
Front runner, contender, I don't believe.
Okay. Okay.
Because I just don't think anybody's going to vote for him. if Baker and him have similar numbers, I think everybody's going to go vote for Baker.
Why?
Because Baker has that.
Okay.
He has it.
All right.
And Sam Darnold has let everybody down ridiculously.
Hasn't Baker Mayfield let people down in the past?
Forget about that, man.
Okay.
I get excited watching Baker Mayfield. Has Sam Darnold ever excited you?
I didn't.
Not one time.
That's probably
true. Now, here's the other thing, though, because Daniel Jones falls in this category too, right?
Yes.
Here's the thing that I'm seeing that I did not see of him in New York. I'm seeing a guy with a stronger arm.
In Daniel Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
There is. I am finally now, and I don't know if when he was in New York, he did not have conviction when he threw the ball, but I'm watching a guy right now who is throwing the ball into tight windows. He has confidence to do it because he has the arm to do it. And it was just, there were throws he didn't make it that I literally saw him not make whenever he was in New York that he's making right now. I've been watching intently to try and figure out what's going on. And this dude has a much stronger arm than I saw him have earlier in his career.
Alec, you're a noted Sam Darnold hater. Mm. Overreaction or reality, you have accepted that Sam Darnold is a real MVP candidate.
Reality.
I have.
And it goes, like, my mind goes to where Corey's went, where people still won't vote for him. Like, you know?
You might be right about that.
They got to have a top five.
Exactly. They got to have the top five. Oh. And you know that anybody outside of top two is not going to get substantial votes. So, like, whenever you do a power ranking in your mind, sorry, Nate Newton, I know you hate power rankings. But, like, if you start ranking these guys in your head, you know that 3, 4, and 5 today have no chance. Whoever that is. Like, I just accept that in my mind. And I go to where Corey is thinking, do you get excited watching him? No. And that's how voters think in 2025. Like, you talk about voter fatigue in the other sports. Yeah, sure. And you talk about how people get tired of seeing the same thing over again and whatnot. These voters let their emotions get involved. And I think they're going to watch Sam Darnold and be like, huh, that's cool. He's playing good football. He's not doing anything for me. Baker Mayfield is doing stuff for people in terms of when you watch the game, the big playability and whatnot.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, so I think people are just going to be bored and be like, nah, I'm good.
Kevin, two texts that came in. Baker doing it without his top two receivers and top running back is pretty interesting. And then Baker's also a fake hurt guy who'll roll around like his back is broken and then immediately get right back up because somebody talked S to him.
See, I would argue that Sam Darnold has overcome apathy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, to Alex's point, I don't know if that's a votable issue, but like, at least people seem to have thoughts about Baker Mayfield. Nobody had thoughts about Sam Darnold. Maybe they still don't. All right, here's somebody who lots of people have thought, look, man, Sam Darnold wishes he could have the visibility of this next person.
Mm-hmm.
Overreaction or reality, Shedeur Sanders will start for the Browns this year.
Reality.
Ooh.
What's their record right now?
I mean, it's 1-5.
Yes, it's 1-5. We just went over the records of the bad teams that were surprises, Kevin. We all saw it.
Oh, God.
I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, that they're just magically going to be better at football. I don't really hate their weapons, too. I don't like their running backs or receivers. I don't like anything they really have. But at some point, somebody is in the room is going to go, we got to give Shedeur a chance. We got to make sure.
I mean, look, and I they'll give Dylan Gabriel more of a shot, but on throws of 10-plus yards on Sunday, he was 4 for 14 for 51 yards. And when pressured, he was... Ooh, he was 4 for 12 for 13 yards. And it's a robust average of 1.1 yards per attempt. Overreaction or reality, Alec? Shedeur Sanders will start for the Browns this year.
Reality, because they're going to have to try to switch stuff up at some point to try to keep the locker room. Because everybody knows Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, is a very good coach. in a very bad situation with, in my mind, I know that he made the heroic play in the draft to take Shador and make everybody happy, but I think their GM sucks with all the deals that he's handed out that have backfired. Right. So I think Stefanski is going to have to do something that's going to say, hey, just trust me, we're going to get through this. It's just a period of time. And that's what's going to excite the locker room. And if you want a shorter answer, Kevin, Dylan Gabriel sucks. He's not good. He's not an NFL quarterback. I'm sorry.
That Oregon offense is built for, to have a good college quarterback.
Exactly.
And their quarterback at Oregon did struggle this past week. Mm. Overreaction or reality? I know what my answer is on this. People keep clamoring for it. Maybe it's going to happen. Overreaction or reality? You want the Cowboys to trade for defensive help?
I do. Reality.
With one of the Micah picks?
We're going to talk about this at one.
Okay.
Because I think this is a fascinating conversation. All right. But I do, Kevin, because I can't watch this crap for the rest of the year.
Okay.
I can't deal with being like, this is, if the players aren't going to get better,
yeah,
then I need to get better players.
Bearded Monkey tour, not going to be quite as fun.
Bearded Monkey's going to be awesome no matter what. That place is always lit, dude. Okay. Dude, I'm dead serious. That place is awesome. But there, I also watch home games at home. Okay. So
makes sense. Overreaction and reality, Alec, you want the Cowboys to trade for a defensive player.
Reality, but not with any of the Micah picks.
Okay.
With day two or day three picks.
All right.
Because my mind just goes back to March of 23. What did you do? You traded for Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah.
What did you give up? A fifth round pick.
Yeah.
He ended up being solid for you. Was he the defensive player of the year that he was years ago? No. But he was a starting corner and played serviceable football for you. Those players exist.
Okay.
And if you could find somebody that, I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, I think it was during crosstalk maybe, where if you could find that younger player that has a deal coming up, their rookie contract might be over in a year from now, so you have that 1 year of control after this season, and then you could make a decision on them. Sure, that moves me a little bit more than getting a premier player right now.
NFL overreaction or reality? Jackson Smith and Jigba has arrived as a top-tier wide receiver. He had 8 catches for 162 yards and a touchdown. He already has 4 100-yard games.
Dude, he's making Sam Darnold look good. No, seriously, like that connection between those two is special. We always knew Jackson Smith and Jigba was good. Now that DK Metcalf's not there, the lion's share of targets go his way, but also he's taking advantage of him. He's making plays, dude. Like, he is making plays. Health permitting, that dude's going to be a stud. Steve Largent style.
Ooh.
Tyler Lockett style.
Mm.
Maybe better.
Oh, okay. Alec?
Then both of them combined.
JSN has arrived. Overreaction or reality? That is a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot. But it's a reality. I do think that he has arrived as a true number one receiver, because with receivers, sometimes the numbers won't always be indicative. And this year, I think they could be. But if you just watch him, there's more of an expanded route tree, obviously, because DK Metcalf is gone. You just have to assume that responsibility. But the way he's handled it, he can be the big play threat. He can play in the slot. He can play anywhere you ask him to, and you can draw up design plays for him and for him only. Whenever a receiver gets to that point in their career where it's like, hey, we have a whole list of plays where the first read is you, and the ball is probably going to get thrown to you,
right,
even if it's not a good look. He's getting a lot of those looks now. So that tells me that the coaching staff believes it. I should believe it at this point. And yeah, he's just a beast. He's incredibly fun to watch.
NFL overreaction or reality? Even though they aren't healthy, the Bucs are the best team in the NFC.
Reality.
Do you think they're the best team in the NFL?
Dadgummit. I'm going to say it's overreaction. I'm sorry. I'm going back
Okay.
Because I still think the Lions are the best team in the NFC.
Okay.
They lost to the AFC team.
The Chiefs, yes.
Former Super Bowl champions in a way. And so, yeah, I'm gonna say that they're top three. They're top two in the NFC. They're top three in the NFL to me.
Because you'd had Igbuka with a hamstring.
Mike Evans,
Chris Godwin, Bucky Irving. Like, they've had a whole lot of injuries. All right, overreaction to reality. Even with all those injuries, the Bucs are the best team in the NFC.
Easily a reality. I know we've been talking about it all week now, but you guys just talked about it with Moose too, that there might not be any elite teams in the NFL. Yeah. I would consider them elite right now, okay. Today. I think they are because of the things they've had to deal with and their ability to win those one score games. I know it's not pretty. I know it's not perfect. It's not ideal. Every team, every good team, especially wants to win by two scores. But if you can win those heart attack games in the fourth quarter inside of 2 minutes, then you show me something that's more important than, you know, beating a mediocre team by 21 points. I like what I'm seeing. That's a motivated group, and they're only going to get better when the reinforcements come back, which is something we hear a lot around here, yes. But it actually means something to them.
Whew, NFL overreaction or reality. He just won NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Bijan Robinson will carry the Falcons to the playoffs.
Over it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Action.
Oh,
that defense played pretty damn good against the Bills.
Yeah, that defense has had a fascinating arc this season.
Michael Penix was throwing the ball with like confidence.
Yeah.
And there were receivers that were wide open. Drake London looks like a stud. So, Kevin, I believe in Bijan Robinson, but there's a lot more to that team than just him.
It's one of the more confusing three-game arcs in all of the NFL this season. They got shut out and smoked by the Panthers, and then they follow up beating the Commanders and the Bills. Like, that's a weird way to go, but here we are. All right,
here we are. That, yeah.
Overreaction or reality, Alec, Bijan Robinson will carry the Falcons to the playoffs.
Right there with Corey, overreaction, because I think that team is finding their identity as a unit. And you mentioned that three-game arc. That's just a Raheem Morris team. He's a really good motivator and a really good leader of men. So I think that Panthers game, that was the wake-up, like, hey, that was ugly. We know we are way better than that, and we are way more talented than we showed. So let's identify the issues, figure it out, and then we're going to go beat one of the best teams in the AFC. That's exactly what happened, and I think Drake London is emerging as a true one in this league as well. I think that team is just really good. I heard Woolchuck talking about their pass rush yesterday. It has been phenomenal. We knocked them for trading way too much to get an edge in this past draft.
Yeah, that has paid off.
But at least early on, it has paid off. They look like a really good team.
Did you like how I said he would carry them? Because he's a running back.
And a receiver.
Man, that's for damn sure. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, if we can, I want to talk a little bit more about Terry McLaurin and Noah Brown. Now got updates about them, we will also hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer next on The Fan.
Pass from Duchesne. He gets it back. Duchesne with space. Net front score! With Sam Steele parked in front. Dallas on the power play makes it 3-0.
JNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where the payload tomorrow morning might be absolute must listen. We're going to talk about the Stars updates for the Commanders, but I'm going to go to Corey first, who I think has thoughts.
I was just looking through the YouTube. I like to look at the Twitch and YouTube and see what's going on over there. Occasionally I'll respond. I can't respond to the YouTube because I don't know my login. It's very similar to my login on the Twitch, but it does say somebody on here, Kid Cowboy. He said, nobody cares about hockey. And I would I have to disagree because I care. And I know Kevin cares too. Now, the other thing too, though, is Mikko Rantanen was asked the other day if Dallas is a hockey town. He was like, absolutely. He was like, it's not. He didn't say this, but I know we're not what Detroit was back in the in a while ago. But right now, and since the Stars have gotten here, the fan base that supports the Stars is the most rabid fan base in DFW.
I agree with that.
They love their team.
And passion per person.
Yes, and they will defend that team to the very end, and they show up for that team too. So, yeah,
and
people care about hockey.
Yeah, we had somebody in the first segment who complained that we didn't lead off with the Stars. The Stars are victorious over the Wild because the Stars and Jake Oettinger absolutely own the Wild, just like we own the last team that they had, except this time we took it all the way to Dallas. So my suggestion is just go ahead and take the Wild as well. Put them in Fort Worth while everyone's worried about what city the Stars are going to be in, and let's just go ahead and get that done as well. Also, on the football front, Noah Brown, in case you missed it earlier, he is going on the injured reserve. However, Terry McLaurin is expected to practice this week. Now, today and tomorrow are going to be big days, because if he's not practicing on Friday, then just forget about it. He's not going to play in this game. But Dan Quinn said this morning he is optimistic that McLaurin can practice this week, which is a big turnaround from not that long ago when they thought maybe he would need surgery, which would clearly either end his season or take out a giant chunk of it. So keep an eye out on the practice reports today and tomorrow, as I think that will give you a great deal of insight into whether or not Terry McLaurin is going to play. And I think some of the statistical struggles that Jane Daniels has had is not only because he also suffered an injury, is because his go-to target, the guy they paid all the money to, he hasn't been there. And I think you can directly look at that as a reason, or at least part of the reason, why his completion percentage has dropped 7 points.
All right, there you go. Kevin, I'm also going to point out all the times that the YouTube is arguing about Dak. So that was something else the YouTube likes, is that when we point that out.
Oh, they just like to argue.
I'm giving them a hard time right now.
About
just
Dak?
No, I'm just saying I love you guys.
What's okay.
Let's have some fun.
All right. And here's the tough argument that we get into with the Stars, and I wish this was the case. When they 817, Dallas hockey is more relevant than Dallas football. Go Stars. If you go by winning percentage, yes. If you go by what people tune into, not even close. And that, unfortunately, is part of the deal.
And one of the things, Kevin, I think we've learned and we hope is that, hey, we're going on a ride. The Tolos say that they're willing to go with us. And,
yeah.
And we appreciate that, because we're going to ride all over this city supporting all of the teams that we've grown up watching. I do appreciate this from the 817. Does Kevin care? He explicitly said they'd lose this season, and here they are.
They will.
So that means
you're lying.
I'm not lying. You know, you...
They have not.
That is disingenuous.
You are gambling on their losses.
There are that is not true. That is not true. I'm not underdog in this thing, but that's not gambling anyway. There are only two teams in the NHL right now who don't have a loss, and that is the Stars and the Carolina Hurricanes. I know other teams have only lost in overtime, but you know what? That still counts as a loss. So I am impressed by the start. I am impressed by the fact that two of those Stars victories have been on the road. But it's not going to happen. That doesn't mean I don't love the Stars. I absolutely love the Stars, but that's
allegedly
not going to happen.
That's a appreciate you trying, though, man.
Freaking nerd. It's not allegedly. I do love the Stars. I will be rooting for them tomorrow when they get back after it, okay?
I'll believe you. I just feel like if the Stars at some point, God forbid, lose this year, you're going to be celebrating. You're going to go walk in here and be like, I told y'all. And that's that doesn't seem right, Kevin.
All right. I want to make a further hockey point clear. This is the New York Rangers, because y'all keep trying to twist things on me. Mm-hmm. The New York Rangers have lost their first three games, but probably more importantly, they have become the first team in NHL history to get shut out in each of their first three home games.
So Stars are the first team in NHL history to score five goals
that
in their first three.
That is not true.
Allegedly.
It is not true. A team did it 3 years ago.
Look at the history being made, though. That's cool. I love it.
The more relevant history is that the New York Rangers, they lost to the Oilers 2-0, and one of their players said, "I don't know whether to laugh or to cry.
Oh.
I honestly don't know." They became the first team in NHL history to be shut out in their first three home games. So, aren't you glad that we're on the opposite side of that?
Oh, absolutely, man. No, this is one of the things, again, Glenn Gulletson, there was concern that that might be their start. I know the talent is too good, but hey, the team has to believe in the coach. The coach has to believe in the team. They all have to do their jobs together. And Kevin, they're coming out firing right now. One of my concerns is, and they had a hot start last year, didn't they? Like last year was a pretty hot start too. So one of my concerns is, will they hit a period where things kind of fall off for them, and how will they handle that? Because how many coaches do we talk about that say you can't come out like you're going to win the Super Bowl on game one.
You really
do want to win, obviously. But
there were vibes of that for the 2012 Rangers.
You're trying to build to something.
Texas Rangers.
Yeah, you're trying to build to something. You can't prove everybody wrong right now. You can build to the place where you're going to prove people wrong, though.
Now, do you want to talk about basketball or baseball?
Kevin did not say the Rangers are going to lose all their games.
No, and that was the New York Rangers. That's not going to happen
either.
Let's
talk about some hoops.
All right. Do you think we could do better than this? Coaches, we'll get back to it later. Coach is ready right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Today?
He should practice today. Just got done with a walkthrough, and he was very involved. And so we'll see how he moves around today.
Tarpon in the same situation?
Yes.
What about Booker?
Yes.
Sanborn in the concussion protocol?
He's got one test, I believe, to get through.
One more question, if I may. We've talked a lot about the defensive scheme and it's changing. Are you surprised that it's still not where you want it to be and here we are going into week seven?
I would say that we're looking at everything, you know. And, again, I think, you know, a couple weeks ago was the pass game and the inability to not give up big plays and big passes, and that's gotten better. And then this week we took a step back, I would say, with the run game. But the process doesn't change, you know, and we're looking at everything. We're looking at adjustments that we can make and things that we can tweak to make it better. We're looking at things that we can coach better. We're looking at things that we can do from a personnel standpoint to feature some guys. And whether you win, lose, play well, don't play well, there's always going to be tweaks.
Clarence Hill, DLLS Cowboys, is that the, like, plugging a hole in a dike to a certain extent? You say that you fix the big plays and you give up the run. But then there were also big plays against the wide open receivers in the secondary as well.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah, I mean, again, it's you have to break it up into different things. So, you know, when we look at every game, we look at, you know, the past game. You know, like I said to you guys on Monday, you know, we watch the game very different than we ever have with the defensive staff this week. And we looked at all the normal D&D runs, and we pointed out the issues and the problems. And there were things we did well. But like I've talked about, our gap fits weren't very good, right? You know, they were doing a really good job of coming downhill, and we got to use our linebackers and safeties to take people off double teams. And then we watched all first, second down passes. Play action passes have been a problem for us. We're not playing with great eyes. That's real. Well, how do you fix that? Well, you do that with walkthroughs. You do that through practice. You do that through film study. And, you know, sitting in the meetings this morning, those are the things that you look at and say, okay, well, why are these things happening? Well, it's a copycat league. So when someone beats you on a route off a play-action pass, you're going to see that, rightfully so. You're going to see that route for the next couple weeks. And we've seen that. And when we've had those breakdowns and given them up, it's literally been different for different reasons. And so, but the solution is very simple. You just keep working. You keep communicating. We had really good meetings with the defense this morning in the defensive install and things like that. And so hopefully today's practice goes well.
Yeah. You've been working on this scheme since, you know, Eberflus got here. Can the changes take hold in 1 week? Is that realistic that these can get fixed in 1 week?
Well, again, you can't, you know, we're not going to change. I mean, you're not going to look out there on Sunday afternoon at 3:25 and be like, man, they're playing 3-4. You know, like that's not going to happen. You know, there's going to be adjustments based on things that we want to do that we think will help us play better and with more confidence. And then there's going to be things that we do because of the opponent that we're playing, in this case, Washington. But, you know, we're not, you know, ripping up the playbook and starting over. We're saying, okay, let's look at our personnel again. Okay, let's look at these first, you know, 6 weeks. What are the areas that we know we need to improve? And you start there. But really, if you try to change everything in a one-week span or a two-week span, it's not realistic. So you start with small changes, that 10 to 15%. It's an arbitrary number. It doesn't really matter. And you start there.
Brian Todd-Archer from ESPN. With CD, what do you need to see from him in practice to say, okay, he's back, he's good to go?
Yeah, if he's breathing, I'd feel pretty good. No, honestly, you know, no, I mean, CD knows how to play football. If he runs around and catches a pass or two, I'm good.
Turpin, same kind of.
Yeah, the same. I mean, again, not much different. But the biggest thing, honestly, I make light of it because we're excited that they're trending to play.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And all that stuff. But the biggest thing is that, you know, there is a ramp up. You know, I mean, can he play 85 plays if we have to? He probably would want to, but we'll be smart about what we do with him. And I just want to see really how they move today, but then it's almost like how they feel tomorrow, Todd. You know, like, hey, yeah, I feel really good. Or, yeah, I'm a little sore. You know, I mean, those are things you're looking for. But with all three of those guys, you know, coming back and trending into practice, we'll know more tomorrow.
We talked to you last week about the consultant year that you had. How trying was that year in Jacksonville, considering all the stuff that happened? And did that play a part in you, like, maybe I want to take a break, just because of how long that season may have been?
It was an interesting year. Man, how much time you guys have? I got practice at one. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about things that I believe in, things I don't believe in. I learned a lot about myself as a man, as a leader. It was a very trying year, and there were positives that came out of it, and that's what I try to focus on is the positives I took from it. Made some great relationships with some terrific young men and other coaches that I will have relationships with for the rest of my life, and that's what I kind of focus on more than the football side of it.
John Machado with The Athletic. With getting CD back, with what you've seen from George, does it just go right back to the way it was before, or has George shown you anything to where you're like, I want to kind of use him maybe a little bit differently than I did before?
Well, I think what George has shown us over the last couple of weeks is we can move him around. You know, I think really, you know, it took George a little while for us to be able to move him around. The one thing that George has proven over these last couple of weeks is our ability to move him around, which makes us more difficult to defend, you know, because really CD was the guy we were trying to move around, right? And George was kind of at one spot. But, you know, George has been terrific with us, putting him at different spots and different positions. And I think he kind of likes it because I think it holds his attention and keeps him dialed in. And but I think it's a great thing. And integrating them both in, and, you know, there's one ball. We know that. And they're both really good players. So we'll, you know, see where the defense makes the ball go.
And as a Cowboys head coach, there's a lot of first for a first-time Cowboys head coach, and this will be your first 325 game. Probably have to navigate through some sun there. How much are you looking forward to that?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been here for a little while, and I've heard about it. You know, hey, look, we really do. I mean, you know, if you guys could see the process and plan that we have in place to figure it out. I mean, we have satellite imaging, we have pictures of the sun when it's coming down, and so there's a big plan and a process. But I think when you look historically at what's happened, it really hasn't affected many situations, and we plan for it. The opponents plan for it, but at the end of the day, it's something that we're aware of, and. It's very beautiful. It's majestic almost when the sun comes through there. So,
Nick Harris, Four Star Telegram. You have the number one offense in the NFL. You're adding a piece like CD back into the fold. How much better can the offense get?
Well, you know, my focus is the run game. So unless CD wants to dig out safeties all day long, I think, you know, that's the area that we've been focused on, Nick, is, you know, cleaning up the run game. CD's going to play his game. We know that. You know, GP's going to play his game, but I don't say that to be funny. I mean, literally, we have to clean up our run game. We're not going to win many games rushing for 31 yards at 1.6 average. And, you know, so that's been the big focus. And, again, CD helps that because we might get a little bit more shell coverage and things like that. But our main focus as an offensive staff, along with putting together a hell of a game plan, has been looking at the run game issues, and because we're getting ready to play a team that knows how to run the football. So I think they're first in the league in rushing, talking about Washington, of course, and we're clearly way better than we were running the football offensively last week.
Kind of along those same lines, are you more hesitant to put CD in the backfield, or is it still keeping that play moving forward?
No, yeah. I mean, I don't think we'll start the game with it. But no, like I said, I have no problem with that call. You know, injuries, you hate to see them happen, but they happen. And, we'll still use him in a multiple spots.
And then one last quick one. Miles Sanders went on season ending IR last week. Is Phil Maffa a guy y'all want to open the practice window for?
We're talking about different things. Again, Phil's been, doing good with all his rehab and things like that. And, a lot of things that we like about Phil, but there's other options out there potentially as well, and we're keeping all those options open.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. You talked a lot recently about parity and how this is kind of a week-to-week league. When the margins are kind of so close week in, week out, what can you do to create an edge for your team? What have you seen in the past that creates edges for teams and ultimately wins games in the fourth quarter, close games?
I mean, again, I think, you know, I've been very vocal about the importance of, you know, the takeaway-giveaway ratio. I think that's very important. I was surprised that, you know, we won the turnover battle last week but still lost the game. You know, it's disappointing because I generally believe, you know, when you win the turnover battle, you should win the game. And unfortunately, we didn't do that, and there's multiple reasons why. But, you know, the beauty of it is, you know, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Like when I talk about the Commanders to the guys, I'm not a coach that talks a lot about, okay, hey, here's Dan Quinn and here's Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. And I don't go into all that stuff. Why? Because it's about us. It's focusing on us and what we do. Now, the coordinators break into more specifics about, hey, Terry McLaurin, he's really good. Jaden Daniels, really good. De'Ron Payne, really good, you know. But, again, I want our guys focusing on us. And my message to the team this week was, you know, we control our standard. No one else does but us. And if they continue to work and compete every day at a consistent level, there's my word. You guys know it. That's my word. If we can be more consistent, then we'll play and we'll find ways to win those games that we have come up a little bit short, whether it's a tie or a loss. But they got to be consistent with their competitive spirit every day.
Do you feel like this is the most parity the league has had in a while?
I feel like it's been this way for a long time, but because I mean, you know, any given Sunday, that term's been around a long time, you know. There's a lot of parity, so I could see you could make that argument. I don't know what the stats would tell us, but you could make that argument.
Garrett Podell, CBS Sports. Brian, you've worked, I think, alongside Dan Quinn a lot in 2022 as a consultant, and then we're obviously the OC across from him in practice as the DC. What's it going to be like calling plays against him in a game for the first time as a Cowboys?
Well, again, you know, I love DQ to death, but I think, I think Joe Witt does a hell of a job for them. And, again, I'll get back to Dan, but, like, you know, I learned a lot from Joe in my time here. You know, you talk about a guy that's just a really brilliant football coach, his toughness, the way he demands. And the only reason I went to Joe is because I think, you know, my understanding, he's calling every play and doing a hell of a job. They're not, you know, they're giving up some yards, but they're not giving up a lot of points. And, you know, just can't say enough good things about Joe. And, you know, with DQ, it's just, you know, it's very natural. I mean, he and I go back a long ways back to Hofstra. I didn't go to Hofstra like he did, but spent a lot of time together with the Jets. And then he went to my alma mater, Florida, and we stayed in contact. And then, you know, guy's a hell of a football coach, and nothing but love for him.
Christy.
Christy Scales, Cowboys Radio, 105.3, the Fan. When you turn on the tape and see 54 Bobby Wagner, and I know you were with him in Seattle, still the same, and I can't believe I'm saying this, not that you take an 11-time All-Pro for granted, but just the consistency that do you still see that same kind of
100%. I mean, we were actually talking about in the quarterback meeting this morning. The guy just, you know, his ability to still play this game at such a high level is something that should be written about. It should be talked about. It is incredible. I mean, because he still hasn't slowed down. He still dissects things. He's still an incredible blitzer. He just impacts the game so many ways. And a big part of us having success running the football this week is going to be trying to block Bobby. And that's really hard to do. But one of my favorite players of all time. I was telling the story, whatever year it was, he's in year 13, right? So was it 12 or 13, 13 or 14 draft, whatever. I was with St. Louis, and we were in the war room, and I was the offensive coordinator. And we were trying to get up to get Bobby. We loved Bobby and wanted to get him, And Seattle moved right ahead of us in the second round and took him. And I'll never forget one of the personnel guys. It was one of the area scouts grabbing his water and slinging it against the wall. And I was kind of like, man, what's the big deal? Like, you know, linebacker from Utah State. And now I look back, I'm like, oh, that's why. So, you know, he's an incredible player, but an incredible person, incredible dad. Heck, the way he's playing now, he could still play a couple more years.
Joe.
Joe Boyd, Dallas Morning News. George Pickens seemingly has a handshake with everyone. Does he have a handshake with you?
You know, I try to keep up with these guys on their handshakes, but they're really confusing, and they go fast. So, no. I think they probably feel like I'm a lost hope when it comes to, like, the dap-dap and this and that, and they do all those things. So I kind of leave that to them. But my daughter and I have one. That's kind of cool, yeah. And I won't share it with you guys, but I'll start with that. Maybe, you know, get one with my wife and then trending toward – Guyton asked me to do one, and I messed it up. And so he's like, no, we're not doing any more shoddy. I'm like, okay. So I think a few of them have tried, and I haven't handled it very well.
And on that note with Pickens, Jerry said yesterday he's been beyond what you guys expected, not only on the field – off the field, talking about how he's fit in with the team. I was wondering if you give us maybe a behind-the-scenes look at just how he's fit with this team and how important that's been in his transition here.
No story, no antidote, but literally you guys can see how much he loves playing the game of football. It's very evident. It doesn't matter the situation. He just loves playing the game. His personality is truly infectious. We actually sit in meetings a lot. We just laugh about GP, some of the stuff he says on the field. He'll make like a – well, number one, any pass he catches, he practices a celebration. So that's kind of cool. He's got a lot of choreographed stuff. But some of the stuff he'll do, like he caught a ball the other day, and it was like a one-handed catch, and the safety was running over the top. And I was asking him about it. I was like, hey, man, that was an amazing catch. He goes, yeah, insane, right? And I was like, well, yeah, it was insane. But, like, he just loves it. And so what a great teammate, man. Seriously, great teammate, and so lucky to have him.
Saad, you said The Athletic. Ryan, cohesion has talked a lot about when it comes to the offensive line. You guys have had a lot of changes there just because of all the injuries, and now you're starting to get guys back. How do you kind of work through the cohesion with all the different pieces and everybody that you are getting back?
Yeah, I mean, the rotation's very well thought out. It was very detailed how you work guys and rep guys. And, you know, with Book coming back, you'll do some different things with TJ and, you know, play some guard, play some center, do some different things. But it's really well thought out, Sod. And then, you know, obviously we're big on cross training anyways. You know, it's important. You know, I think we showed 2 weeks ago in New York that you can do it with a lot of new faces. And why is that? Because these guys have been, doing a lot of football together since we showed up in Oxnard. And I think that's important. But the biggest thing for me is the communication. And like I said, on Monday, our communication wasn't great last week. And it wasn't the ID. The ID was fine. Brock did a good job. But we didn't communicate up and down the line very well or at the standard that we need to. And that kind of hurt us. And when we had opportunities to make good plays in the run game, we didn't because we weren't communicating.
With the interior guys stepping in, how impressive have they been, in particular with Brock and TJ, you know, both having to play on short order?
Yeah, again, I don't think we're surprised. I'm not surprised. I can't talk highly enough about both those guys, but it goes back to my main point that I say all the time, that whole idea and mantra of next man up. It's real, you know, and it it's part of the game. And you know, but blown away by those guys' performance, yeah, but not surprised. You know, excited for them because, again, I think it gives them the confidence about where their careers are going. Let's talk TJ for a second. Really, they're both young, but, I mean, TJ's a young player, got a bright, bright future ahead of him. And if Book's back this week and TJ's on the bench, he'll be ready to go if ever called upon in any spot.
Michelle.
Michelle, on Team WBA. Coach, what is it like being in the film right now? Specifically, you said you spent some more time with the defense. When the coaches are pointing out, you know, gaping holes and stuff, what is the feel in there as you try to educate but also sharpen?
You know, I enjoy it. I mean, I think it's really great give and take. You know, I try to help them understand how they would be attacked and how I would attack them based on their pieces and things like that. I have the insight to know both, you know, the scheme that they do, but also the players and how I would want to use my pieces if I was, you know, if I was Cliff Kingsbury, and how I would want to attack, you know, some of our guys. And I'm being educated on some things, you know, quite honestly, different ways that you can play zone and man and different front variations you can use and all the things that go into it. The thing that reminds me about it is how important communication is on defense. And if you don't communicate, because, again, they have to adjust to the offense. And so you'd be amazed how many times you can take one play and with one front and one coverage, if the formation strength changes, it changes almost seven people. You know, maybe not the four defensive linemen, but it changes almost seven people. And when those things are moving fast and going fast on game day, if you're not communicating well, why you would feel stressed, why you would feel anxious. And they're going to test us with that this week because they do so much on the ball, up tempo. And I think that that's where our communication needs to get better. It needs to be a big emphasis. And that was something that we were talking a lot about today in the meetings.
There you go, Brian Schottenheimer, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Quick Stars update. Matt Duchene listed as day-to-day after the hit he had against him yesterday. But coming up next, time for the C-Block, starring Corey Majors.
A woman stroked my beard and said it looks nice, and my wife wants answers. Next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.